Well, let's look into the scriptures before we pray this evening. We're going over to the New Testament. Our place is pretty far over there, the book of James. If you have trouble finding it, I always do it alphabetically, H-I-J. It's after Hebrews, and it's before Peter, J-K-L-M-N-O-P. So between Hebrews and Peter, there's James. Or you could just memorize this on page 356. James chapter 1 is where we are. And we're going to read another beatitude. It's here for us in James, a little epistle. It's there in verse 12 of James chapter 1. And he says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." That went by pretty quick. Let's read this again. "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." You know that that's a word to every one of us in here? As long as you know that, that's good. But this is the sort of thing that you start unraveling the verse, not to deconstruct it, but just to see some of the precious things about it. Let's go ahead and change our figure. We're taking a jewel and just turning it this way and that, looking at this facet and that facet and the other, and catching the gleam off of it. That might be a bit better. Now, you know the word blessed, and we've spent a lot of time with that so far, and I don't think we need to reiterate what has been said, blessed. And so we have a pronounced blessing here upon such a person here, it says. Now, blessed is a man. That's generic, of course. It means anybody. But it says, I like this, it says a man in a more impersonal way. It's not the man. Now, we saw that blessed is the man in Psalm 1, but here in James, it's blessed is a man. He uses the indefinite article instead of the definite one. He doesn't say blessed is the man, which you might say, well, that's the guy. But this is blessed is a man. You could say blessed is some man, blessed is any man, blessed is you or me. When the scriptures are indefinite like this, I do believe that we are meant to plug ourselves into it. And the more indefinite it is like this, the more liberty we have to say, well, look, I may not be the man, but I'm a man, and so I qualify. Are you with me so far? Oh, if I thrash that to death, okay. Blessed is a man who perseveres. Blessed is man who perseveres. And I think you know what that means, but you look up the synonyms and you start stacking them together and you get some sense of what James is saying. Someone who perseveres is someone who endures. It is someone who persists. The one who endures or perseveres is the one who holds on, who will not let go. The one who stands firm in the situation where they are. And so you get all of this together and you get some sense of what James is saying. This unnamed, unspecified any man is, you look at him and he may not be qualified as the guy, but he is yet bucking up, to use Jeff's phrase. He is enduring. He is persisting. He is holding on. He is standing firm. Now, I like the next word. I don't like it, but I do, because I like it in the sense that it's true to life. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under. Now, don't you know that that's exactly how it feels? When you're in trial, it feels like it's going over your head. And you find that you're buried, perhaps. That you have that sense of being not on top of things, but those things are on top of you. Does that ring an uncomfortable bell in your experience? It does for me. And I appreciate, I don't like it that much, but I appreciate the use of the word under. And you put these two thoughts together, and you have a man whom Christ is helping because he is under, but he's persisting. He is under, but he's enduring. He is under, but he's holding on. And that just means the power of God is at work in that individual. It doesn't mean that you've been forsaken. All the contrary. It just means God is with you in a remarkable way that you may not be able to see, but there's this unknown power perhaps supporting you and undergirding you. How else do you explain Caleb and Joshua? If you're reading their stories, then you know they went into the wilderness as mature men, then they spent the next four decades there wandering around in the wilderness, and then they come out of it, and Caleb says, I am just as strong today as I was when I came into the wilderness some four decades ago. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for going out, for coming in, for war, and all of that. How do you explain that? It's just God, isn't it? God helped Caleb. God helped Joshua. He sustained them when they were under this situation. The Lord said to Moses, you're going to know my opposition. And that sounds grim. But then you realize that that opposition manifested itself in wonders, dozens of kind and benevolent ways that kept them and sustained them and preserved them. And here they are. And so James says this, you look at this man, this a man, any man, some man, perhaps every man in his congregation in those days, and God is with them even when they were under trial, he says. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Now, we don't need really to elaborate that, do we? Because each man knows his own sorrow and grief, and you know what comes to you, and what bothers you may not bother the person three rows back or four rows up, but it's yours. Well, they have their thing too, and you've got your thing, but so we've all got this thing called trial, but I like what James says about this. Once he has been approved, then you realize something about this trial. It is a test, isn't it? You're going through a season of approval. You are being prepared for something. God, your Father, has sent it to you on purpose in love. And he who is holding your head while you're under trial is sent this for a very definite purpose. And the end of this is in sight when he says, once you have been approved. Now, before we go on to what you're being approved for and prepared for, let's just say some of these things that this could mean. If we are to endure and persist and hold on and stand firm and persevere, then this is going to manifest itself in those ways where the Lord has told you to be faithful. And I'm sure he's spoken to you about prayer, about trust, about love, about obedience, about your tongue, about your habits, about your life. And so think about this work of prayer that God has called you to. And I'm not even necessarily referencing the mission here, but we are to be a kingdom of priests, and we're to pray to God about this and that and the other, and you know, people in power. We're supposed to pray for our leaders and our elders. We're supposed to pray for the city where God has sent us. We're supposed to pray for our loved ones and for all manner of things. And we're supposed to pray. And you remember now some of the ways our Lord taught about prayer. He said sometimes you're going to feel like you're coming to an unrighteous judge. And you desperately need legal protection from your opponent. But it feels like this judge is saying to you, get away from me, you bother me. And the Lord said, now, when you feel that way, and when it looks that way and seems that way, what are you supposed to do in prayer? You keep beseeching the judge. Until finally, as the Lord says, even an unrighteous judge will say, I'm going to give this woman some protection. She's going to wear me out if I don't. Sometimes you feel like prayer is standing at a door. And you have, let's say, you have asked and you've sought, and now you're standing at the door and you're knocking. And it sometimes Jesus says prayer is going to feel like nothing is happening. And then maybe from way inside you'll hear this voice saying, I can't come to the door. I'm in bed, me and my children. We just come back tomorrow at a more opportune time. And then our Lord says, now, you're being pressed by a situation. And so what do? You don't say, well, I'm going to be polite. He is a great man, and this is midnight, so I think I'll just leave. He says, no, you just stay there, and you keep banging on the door until finally you hear footsteps coming down the hall. You see a light coming on. You hear a key in the lock, and the rusty hinges start to move, and there is your benefactor. He says, prayer is like that. This is persistence in our Lord's terms, in the Lord's words. And so we continue in prayer. We persevere in prayer. We persist. Or how about trust and love and obedience? These old-fashioned virtues on such discount in our day, but of such precious value to God, trusting Him, loving Him, obeying Him. In other words, you're walking in the way, and maybe you don't see tremendous results or great fruits, and yet you just keep walking because the Lord has said to you, just keep walking. So what do? You walk on. I love the thing that was said to Daniel. You don't need to turn there. Let me just read this to you. This is the last verse of his prophecy. And the one who is talking to him says, now as for you, you go your way to the end, and then you will enter into rest, and you will rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. That's beautiful, isn't it? He had the habit of praying, what, 2-3 times a day, every day? He'd kneel, open his window towards Jerusalem, and let God know what he thought about God's people, about God's kingdom, about God's mercy, and about these things meshing up until God's purposes are done for Israel. And the Lord was so pleased with this, he said, you just keep going on. You go your way and do it to the end. And then you're going to enter into rest, and you're going to rise for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Have you ever thought about what Daniel's allotted portion will be like? How big, how vast, how rewarded that man will be? He's a man, just like you. You're a man. You can go your way to the end, and you will rise at the end to your allotted portion, just like Daniel is going to do. And so you've got these things that are in your heart. God has put them there. I know that our old nature fights against those things, but then I bless God for the Spirit within who fights against that and makes these things beautiful and lovely and altogether desirable. And he stands us back up after dusting us off and says, now you go your way. Keep going. Is that your experience? It's mine. You trip a bit and you stumble down a bit. You get your knees all banged up and your clothes are kind of dusty. And the Lord dusts you off, picks you up and says, there. Now let's keep going. And then there's that strength again. You may not be out of your trial, but there's that strength to endure. Now, what does he say? What is the blessed? Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, The question for us, is this crown of life for this life or the life to come? The answer is yes, both. I think it's both. Now, obviously, there is something awaiting us at the end of the age, isn't there? Let me see what Paul said about that. He said, in the future, he's writing this to Timothy, in the future there is laid up for me, so it's laid up and it's waiting. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all, to any man. Amen. Some man, every man, who has loved his appearing. And so there's the ultimate sense. God is preparing something for you, and I think when Paul saw some of that, the glory, and he came back to this world and walked among us mere mortals again, and he said, I really can't describe it except to say it's beyond words. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And so that the sense of this that James speaks of when he says receiving the crown of life, it is beyond description. It is beyond even our imagination. It hasn't entered the heart what God has prepared for those who love him. And so I would say it's worth wearing your knees out in prayer. It's worth getting up earlier in the day to seek God. It's worth spending more time in the scripture. It's worth loving your neighbor. It's worth being kind. It's worth clamping down on your tongue and keeping that clamp there. It's worth the persevering in your situation. When you think of what's coming, it's just a staggering, staggering thought. Now, but of course, when he says there is a time of approving and there is a time of receiving the crown of life, I think that as you study the experience of the saints, both in Scripture and in subsequent history, you see that God has a way of putting a crown here and there, this one and that one, from time to time, doesn't he? How else do you explain Daniel? How do you explain Moses coming down the mount and his face just beams? How do you explain Naomi? And that's it. That dear woman has gone to hell and back, it seems. She went through drought. She had to leave her homeland. She lost her husband. She lost this son. She lost her other son. She's got nothing left but two daughters-in-law. One leaves her. One comes back with her once the Lord sends rain upon Israel again. They have to go see if they can rescue the farm, and the people, the ladies of the town say, hey, Naomi's back. And she says, don't call me Naomi. Call me what? Call me Mara. I'm bitter. Just like that nasty well they found out there in the wilderness. Call me Mara. And you think it just looks as if her trial is never going to let up. You've read the book of Ruth, haven't you? You know the end of the story. You know the end of the Lord's dealings, as the scripture says, about Job. And we'll think of him in just a moment. But she becomes, because of this daughter-in-law, she now becomes the mother-in-law to Boaz, because God gives Ruth to Boaz. And they have a little baby, and she gets to fondle him on her knee, and it's, what's his name? Obed. Obed becomes the father of Jesse, and Jesse becomes the father of, and David is the great, great, great grandsire of whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Here, put this crown on, my dear. Wear this. Or Job, the same thing. He lost everything, but accusing friends and a compromising wife. And he kept his integrity, though. And he persevered. And he endured. And he may have gotten a little cantankerous and a little bit sour along the way, but he still held on and spoke what was right of God until the Lord comes. And there's something like a crown given to Job when he says, I've only heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now, and I say, may God crown us this way. Now my eye sees thee. Oh. And then he doubles everything that he has, and he gives them the most beautiful daughters in the land. And all is well, and he dies a happy and contented man with an understanding of God that it's hard to rival. Well, that's it. That's our time is gone. But let's just let this ring in our ears one last time. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive. He will. You notice that? Let's underline that in our Bibles. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's pray.